And Nebraska, to me, you know, we've got the number one issue is water, and then we have all the other issues. And even Kansas wants some of our water, you know, which they might be entitled to according to the Republican River Agreement and so forth. But I think when I was growing up, you know, really affected my career a lot. 54, 55, and 56 were extremely dry years in Nebraska. And I remember hauling corn out of Minnesota to feed our cattle. And I grew up in eastern Nebraska. Average rainfall there is probably about 28 inches. Then I moved out to western Nebraska, you know, and you decrease rainfall. We went about a little bit over 200 miles west. And you lack about, 1 inch for every 25 miles or so. We was dealing with a little bit less than 20 inches in the area that I office in North Platte. So it got to be real challenges in dealing with water. This showed you Lake McConaughey, and it was this year, 2004, it was the lowest any year except 56 and so forth. So we're really getting down. Water's a really critical issue. This just shows you what some of the dams look like. A little bit difficult to unload your boat at that dam during that time. And so got interested in skip row by accident, not any great research that I did. And what happened that year in 2002, and it was drier than any year in the 30s out at North Platte area, sorghum breeder in Lincoln said he's got a bunch of new sorghum hybrids he'd like me to try in western Nebraska. And I said, send them out to North Platte. I have an equal fallow corn and sorghum plot over in Hays County, and it's in the North Platte area. We'll put them right in beside that. So we planted them. Well, 2002 was so dry, I don't think there was any dry land crop production in that county that year except in my plot. Not my regular equal fallow corn and sorghum plot, but in this hybrid plot. You say, man, he's coming up with some hybrids that really work. No, some of them were so unadapted they didn't even come up. And I noticed in looking at that, if I had missing rows besides, I'd have good sorghum in the adjoining row. So then I thought, well, with Roundup Ready corn now, I could control the weeds economically. So we started doing a little bit of research there. And this was our first year. In fact, it's kind of interesting. When we look at this, we talked about doing it, my technician and I, a very good technician, Jeff Gallas, and we talked about it over the winter, and then we really got busy. I have a habit of taking on more projects than you can possibly get done, and Jeff would probably agree with that. And so we kind of forgot about it. Plus, it started raining that spring. And Jeff came in on July the 2nd and said, you know, we're finally caught up and we can't harvest wheat. It's too wet yet. Do you want to do anything on skip row? And I says, yeah, let's do something for we have information for a wet year. Well, I should have never said that because that was the last rain we had all season. So we went in, the crew, and as you can see, we had a base 19.5, which was a pretty high plant population for our area for dryland corn. They took out basically every third plant, reduced it to about 15,000, and that didn't change yields any. They basically went in and took out every other plant, and if there was plants missing, they didn't take one out, so that ended up with about 11.2. It increased yields about 10%. Then we went in and took out one row and left two rows for plant two, skip one, and that did increase. It got the plant population down 13.7 to 48 bushel, and we had about a 17% increase. They liked this better where they could just take out entire rows than every other plant or every third plant. So we plant two, skip two by taking out two rows and leaving two. We increased yield to 54 bushel for a 32% increase. Somebody says, well, why'd you stop there? Why didn't you take three out of four, you know? So we didn't do that, though. Some of the things we learned over the years, though, in the system, and here is a field of corn down in Frontier County. You can see it's dry right here, all burned up, and then the rest of the field. The whole south part of the field on this was looking like what's in the foreground here, and then the other part was nice and green. If you went in the field, this is what it looked like where it's burned up. year before we'll show you what it was, and then the other part of the field looked nice and green. There's some real good ears on there, as you can see. But what's the difference on that field? On that part of the field that was all burned up, they harvested for silage. The other part of the field, they harvested for grain. And then they planted the same hybrid corn over it the next year. That residue really made a difference and so forth. And now I tell our people, we can't afford to take, you know, residue off of our dry land fields in our area. And then this was also interesting. One of the cooperators was flying over their fields, and he noticed that half of a field was greener than the other half. And he couldn't figure out why, because they planted the same hybrid all the way across the field. They used the same fertility all the way across the field, but half of it was greener than the other half. So they landed and went over the field, and they got looking around, and what was greener, the ground looked like this. And then what was kind of dried up, it looked like this. And they thought, what the heck happened here? It doesn't make any sense. Then they remembered, on this half the field, they took the straw spreader off. Failed the windrow of straw behind the combine. How much do you think that cost them? And let's kind of look at it here. It was not too bad a year for dryland corn in our area, southwest Nebraska. Made 97 bushel here, where they took the straw spreader off and baled that windrow straw, but it cost them 20 bushel per acre. He said he didn't come close to getting the value out of that straw of 20 bushels of corn. So if you need straw, you know, you buy it from one of those guys back there and you keep yours on your field, right? Yeah, because it's too valuable to take off. This was in 2005 from Grant, Nebraska, and you know, I don't care if you had skip row corn, you had sunflowers, you had regular wave plant corn, you didn't have any crop. But right in that same area was this guy. What's the difference there? Let's go in and check the field. Now, what do you notice there? Bunch of crop residue, don't you? That's really the difference. In fact, 2 years before that, he had a good wheat crop. He actually had corn the year before in this and harvested corn. Then he came back with skip row corn. But the difference here is what? Crop residue. Really the difference that made this. Look at that. And he had some pretty decent corn out there for that dry when nobody else had anything basically in that area. Let's talk a little bit about some of the principles then in skip row. And here's a field, just take a look at it. All the residue, this is harvested with stripper header. You can see the ears there. And how much water does it take? Well, a lot of things is what? When you plant the wheat and all these kinds of things entered in. This is about the way we like to have our wheat in that area look in late October. And this is planted no-till, so we have a lot of crop residue to protect the small wheat plants during the winter. This is actually right across the road. This guy really planted early. We'll come back to this in a second. You know, we've got to do a good job of crop residue distribution. Really, really critical. I like stripper headers. We need all the residue we can have. That field always showed planted that wheat at about the stage that we wanted. It's harvested with a stripper header. Can see the amount of residue out there. We almost have, you know, a yardstick high wheat stubble. And these are the wheat yields here. We averaged roughly 75 bushel in that field and had almost some yields close to 90. And these things we all point out, we don't have a lot of time to point this out, but basically it shows you here, as you have some crop residue, it really helps on weed management. So this also helps us on the skip row corn system. And this is the corn that was planted in that field, what it looks like, and another shot of it, and then the actual yields. And we averaged about 135 bushel there. Yields close to 150 on the crop yields. Crop insurance is still a big problem for many of our counties. Okay, remember this other guy? This is what it looked like. Well, let's see what he's doing at harvest time. What are they doing out there in that cloud of dust? Well, he's cutting his for silage. It wasn't worth harvesting for grain. Well, that's another big mistake, I think. First thing you can do, and the worst thing, it's so bad, is what? This is what you got left after harvest. And this is the worst question I get. They want to know how to fallow this the next year to plant wheat the next fall. What's going to happen in between time? It's going to blow away, wash away. You know, I have no good method on that. Yeah. They might as well plant something out there because it's going to evaporate all the moisture anyway, right? But that's the worst question I get. If they have a field that doesn't have any corn in it, I tell the people, leave the crop residue, catch some snow, protect the soil surface. It's more valuable to you than that little bit of silage you're going to get. And, of course, you've all seen the statement here on the soaking the blister stage, how critical that is. And that's what we're trying to do with the skip row system, save some water because the plants can't reach it earlier. So you have some water at the critical time for those plants. And this is some work that Norman Klucke did at Garden City, Kansas. He actually started this work at North Platte, just showing you here, you know, on bare soil, this is irrigated corn, irrigated twice a week, 35% of the ET is in evaporation. If we have good wheat stubble, and we can irrigate once a week because we've got a good infiltration rates with our no-till, we can actually get that down to, what, 15%, 20% reduction. If we say, what, that the irrigated corn uses 25 inches of water, 20 times 25 is 5, then we also have savings in the sense that we don't have those tillage operations, two or three tillage operations in there. There's another inch to an inch and a half of water. So we can save lots of water with no-till and crop residues. So it all comes down to making the skip row system work, or dry land production, or even irrigated production in our area, of crop residue management. And just shows you a few results to finish up here on the skip row. This was a row route in the Madrid area. It's in the Grant area. And we try to conserve all the residue. I like to change over and put narrow gauge wheels on, knocking down the residue and so forth. And then I also like to remove those units so we don't destroy any residue too, because it's so critical. And just shows you some of the yields here and that we can do with the skip row system. In the solid over here, we've got at 10,000, 15, and 20,000 plants per acre, we got 57, 57, and 44 bushels. Regular planting in 30-inch rows, an average of 53. Let's look at the plant-to-skip-to system. And, of course, we're putting all our plant population in just two rows there, so it's 20, 30, and 40. And our yields are 65, 73, and 84 for the various plant populations. In other words, the 20,000 planted all in two rows out of two, or 40,000, yielded 84 versus 44 here. Looking at the average of all, it's 74 versus 53. And I think with that, we'll take any questions, if we can take a question or two. Okay. Any questions? Yes.
Bob, you fit to
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Yeah. What I'm showing there is that we've got wheat starting here of about 4 inches of water before you get the first bushel with the red line. We also have a blue line out here that starts with the guy that planted early and doesn't have any crop residue out there. Might be 10 inches. On the average,
corn, you're getting how many bushels?
Yeah, actually, you see the green line there, we're starting with, before you get any yield, you have about 10 inches of water. Then it roughly increases at about 12 and a half bushels per inch. Yeah. But good question. I think we're out of time. Okay, thank you.